And joining me right now here on the phone line to go over the latest in the world of basketball is, yeah, we got playoffs. This guy's recruiting. It never ends. He's my great friend, Coach Billy Mims here at Florida Tech. Coach, how you doing?
Mark, I'm doing fantastic. I'm living in paradise. It's basketball time with the NBA playoffs. Only last night I was a little bit withdrawal symptoms, you know, because the playoffs have been going almost a game every night. I didn't know what it was like to go home last night and not have a game to watch. So every night there's a game on, I'm in heaven right now. And on top of that, you know,
what?
I'm a soccer fan too. So I have been watching the Euros as well. So this afternoon, 3 o'clock, England versus Czech Republic. Being married to someone from England, you know what I'll be doing at 3 o'clock today. So I've got the Euros this afternoon. The NBA tonight doesn't get too much better than that.
Okay. In a world where USA would play England, who would you root for? I'll put you on the spot.
Well, that's a tough one in our family, you know, because my wife is from England. All three of my children are from England. My wife is now a U.S. citizen. All three of my children are dual citizens. Wow. I think if England and the U.S. play, we hope for a draw.
Has it ever even happened? Ever?
Yes, it has. We have had England and U.S. play, and we've had certainly mixed emotions in our family when it does.
We're Billy Mims. We'll get back to that in a minute. Are you like me where the NBA playoffs have just been fantastic the last couple of nights? Every night we get in game sevens, do or die. New teams are emerging. New stars are emerging. I love it with this changing of the guard. What about you as a basketball fan?
Oh, I think it's great for the game, Mark, that, you know, the championship is not going to come down to the same old, you know. I know for a while there people said, oh, it was great to have the rivalry of, like, the Lakers-Celtics, the Magic Johnson-Larry Bird rivalry that went on for years. And then you had the Celtics being the dominant team in the East. You know, for a long time, the Boston Celtics were like the New York Yankees of basketball. And out west, you had the Lakers being like the L.A. Dodgers, you know. But it's always good to start and get a new guard coming through, you know. New teams, spreading the championship success and glory. Like, you know, a couple of years ago, Toronto Raptors being the first ever team outside the continental U.S. to be an NBA champion. And if the game is truly a global game, and I believe the NBA will expand on Toronto, you know, to a European division within the next decade, to maybe an Asian division within the next decade, maybe even an African division. So I do think the NBA is going to become in some way a global league. But in the meantime, right here and right now, it's great to see the Final Four of the NBA. Teams that have not been in the NBA championship finals in a long, long time, and some have never been. So I'm excited with this new Final Four. You know, Atlanta and the Bucks in the East. And then when you look out west, you know, you got a great storyline and the Phoenix Suns and the Clippers. You know, the other day I was listening to a radio show, Mark. And it was on ESPN radio, and they were asking about, you know, would Clippers fans call in? And they said they went like the whole morning, and there were no calls. They're like, what, aren't there any Clippers fans out there?
No.
And I wanted to remind them that they should probably just pick up the phone and call Billy Crystal, because Billy Crystal is probably the most famous L.A. Clippers fan in history, and maybe the longest standing guy who is still capable of raising his hand and saying, yes, I'm a Clippers fan. You remember Billy Crystal, the great actor that, you know, great comedic actor that, you know, was almost like the Jack Nicholson of the L.A. Clippers, right? You remember that, right?
Yeah.
Well, I was at coaching pro basketball in London, England, and my wife and I one night had gone to see Eric Clapton at the Royal Albert Hall. And we were sitting in a box that was owned by Harvey Goldsmith, who's the presenter for the show, for Eric Clapton. And we were like two boxes away from the Queen's box. And so we had tickets in the box that night to go see Clapton. And one of Harvey's secretaries called me and she goes, "Oh, this will be funny tonight." She said, "There'll be two Billies in the box." And I said, "What do you mean?" She goes, "Oh, well, Billy Crystal is also going to be in the box tonight with you to see Eric Clapton." I said, "Oh, wow, that's fantastic." I said, "I love Billy Crystal." So Lynn and I, my wife, went to the concert that night. And lo and behold, we're sitting in our seats in the front of the box. And about 5 minutes before the show starts, Billy Crystal walks in and sits next to us. And he introduces himself. And I said, "Oh," I said, "I'm Billy Mims. It's a pleasure to meet you." He said, "You're the basketball coach, right?" I said, "Yes, I am." And I said, "And you're a basketball fan, a big fan, right?" He said, "Well, no, I'm a Clippers fan." He said, "I don't know if you can really call that a basketball fan."
You just told the history of Clippers fans in America. That's what you just did. Look, I get it. I said this yesterday, Coach, where it's like, all right, it's Atlanta, kind of a mid-market. Even though Atlanta's a gigantic city, it's not one of the big boy type towns. Then you got, like you said, you're going to have Atlanta, Milwaukee, another smaller market team. And then out west, you have Phoenix, smaller market team. And then the Clippers. Clippers are the junior varsity team there in Los Angeles. There are, what are there, 6-7 million people there? Well, 20,000 of them are Clippers fans, and they're all going to the game. The rest are Lakers fans. You're right, man.
I agree completely. And you know the funny thing about it? I grew up going to Atlanta, you know, because I grew up in South Carolina, and I went to Atlanta with my parents religiously every summer to watch Atlanta Braves baseball. Because, you know, growing up in South Carolina, you know, we were huge sports fans.
Yeah.
But there wasn't a lot of pro sports in the South when I was growing up. So the closest professional sports team to us was the Atlanta Braves, you know. And then, of course, then the Falcons came along. Then the Hawks came along. But, you know, Braves baseball was the big thing at the time. You know, you had Hank Aaron, you know. So I grew up watching the Braves and Henry Aaron. But I remember Sports Illustrated doing an article, this giant spread in Sports Illustrated when I was young. And the two-page giant spread headline read, "Loserville, USA." And it talked about how bad the Braves were, how bad the Falcons were, and how bad the Hawks were. And Atlanta was branded as Loserville, USA. So to finally see the Atlanta Braves in a World Series, to win a World Series, was phenomenal, right? To finally see the Braves have, like, you know, 12 years of divisional championships, unbelievable, unheard of. And then the Falcons to have the success they had in the NFL, you know, and the Hawks. Well, then you've got the Hawks, who have always had great players. Remember, Pistol Pete Maravich was an Atlanta Hawk, one of the greatest basketball players in the history of the game, period. Scoring records that will never be broken by the Pistol. The first guy I paid $1 million a year to play basketball, Pistol Pete Maravich, was an Atlanta Hawk originally, and yet they couldn't win. Then let's go a little further in history. How about Dominique Wilkins? You know, Dominique was named the human highlight reel. You remember when Dominique came in the game? You know, everybody came out to watch Dominique play because he was the human highlight reel. And couldn't win with Dominique Wilkins. Now they got this little guard from Oklahoma, Trey Young, who's shooting the lights out. He's like the second coming of Steph Curry. And they've got some pretty good players around him. A fantastic European player in Gallinari. Bogdanovich. Bogdan Bogdanovich has played tremendously well this year. Huerta has had a tremendous... And the other night, they win Game 7 on the road, not really because of the exploits of Trae Young, but because of an incredible night that Herter had shooting the basketball, one of his best nights this year. So they put together a team, and Clint Capella, you know, who a few years ago was doing great things alongside James Harden. But the Hawks are now for real, and I think the Hawks have a great coach now in Nate McMillan. And I've known Nate McMillan ever since he was a junior college player at Chauhan College in Murfreesboro, North Carolina. So Nate McMillan has had a storied basketball career from junior college to Division I to the NBA as a great player and as a veteran NBA coach. And now it's great to see Nate being successful again with the Atlanta Hawks.
We're here with Billy Mims, head basketball coach at Florida Tech. I brought this stat up yesterday. I will do it to you, where the Atlanta Hawks had zero All-Stars, did not make the playoffs last year, and no one made any list for All-NBA. None. They got no awards for nothing, and they're in the conference finals. Can't you teach that to your current players? Like, look, just go out and play.
Hey, I'm going to give you a historic thing here from my career. And I can even show you the clip that says this. So I was coaching in 2001. I was the head coach of the Leicester Riders, and a team that for 35 years had been at the highest level of pro basketball in England, the BBL, the British Basketball League. They were the longest serving professional team in the league that had never won a championship, never won one. People were saying it could not be done in Leicester. They offered me the job to become the head coach of the Leicester Riders. 18 months after I took over the program, we won the first national championship in Leicester Riders history. Later that year, we're in the finals of the BBL in London, England, at Wembley Arena. Guess who we're playing against? We're playing against the Sheffield Sharks, coached by Chris Finch, who is now the head coach of the Minnesota Timberwolves. There's a clip at the end of that game where Sky Sports came into our huddle, courtside, okay? So when I heard the NBA talk about this the other night with the Atlanta Hawks, it brought back this great memory to me. And I can even share the clip with you sometime. I'll send it to you. But it was a moment in Sky Sports television history. We're playing BBL championship at the end of the year, 20,000 fans in Wembley Arena. The number one seed, Sheffield Sharks, with All-Stars, Coach of the Year, and all that stuff. And we're the number eight seed in the finals at Wembley with over a million people watching nationwide on BBC Grandstand. We're down at the half. We take over the second half. We're winning the game, putting them away. There's seconds left in the game, maybe 35, 40 seconds left. There's a timeout because we're at the free throw line to ice the game, to really put it away. And I look at my guys in the huddle, and I say to them, Mark, I look at them, and I kind of laugh, and I smile, and I look in their faces, and I said, no BBL All-Stars, no BBL Player of the Month, no BBL Coach of the Month, no BBL Coach of the Year. I said, but in about 35 or 40 seconds, you're about to become the Team of the Year. And so that's what motivated our team that year. No All-Stars, no Players of the Month, no Coach of the Month award, no Coach of the Year award, but we were about to climb to the pinnacle, to become the Team of the Year, because we were going to be the BBL champions and the only team in the BBL that year that had won more than one trophy. We were the double winners, the National Cup champions in January and the BBL national champions at Wembley in May. And so that's kind of the same scenario the Hawks are going through right now. No All-Star players, no NBA top five players. And I mean, it's a joke. that Trae Young is not an all-NBA player this year. It's a joke. But instead, they still have a chance right now to be the team of the year if they can climb that mountain and become the NBA champion. And right now, Mark, they're looking at a pretty good favorite in the East to get to the NBA Finals.
Weird Billy Mims, head basketball coach and champion, by the way. What about they're taking on your boy, Mike Budenholzer, who you talk about all the time, who you're a big fan of. So it's two former coaches you know, McMillan and Budenholzer. So who are you rooting for then?
I know. I mean, I send them both my best wishes. I texted both of them after winning their series, and I'll send them both my best wishes. So I'm kind of in a rock and a hard place. You know, I spent a month in Istanbul, Turkey with Mike Budenholzer and his wife, and we had a blast over there doing a international coaching class at FIBA. And ever since then, Mike and I have been good friends, and that was back in 2010. So I met him about 11 years ago in Istanbul, Turkey. And since then, we've attended a few Final Fours together and sat together with his family, children, and myself and my son at the Final Four, and just enjoyed basketball, you know. And I'm so happy to see his success out there. Both of them have great teams. Both of them very deserving of being in the NBA Finals. I said to Josh the other day, he said, well, Dad, who are you going to pull for in the Finals now? I said, I'm pulling for both of them. They're both great people. They've done a great job. They both have good teams. And you know what? Whoever wins, I'm going to be happy for them. But I can tell you right now, I don't care about Chris Paul's story. I know the NBA want to make it all about Chris Paul, and if he can win the championship, it'd be great for his legacy. You know, he's been a great NBA ambassador for many years, and I know that all looks good to them. I'm pulling for the East because I want to see Mike or Nate win it all. I'd certainly like Trae Young to have that crown since he didn't even get all NBA. And again, I love the story of Giannis Antetokounmpo and Chris Middleton. And I'll say this, there's another tie in the story for our family. My daughter, Courtney, that you know very well,
she did a
package interview with Chris Middleton when she was doing an internship for television in Charleston, South Carolina. She met Chris. He's a native of Charleston, and he still gives back to the local community there by running a basketball camp at Porter Gowd High School every summer for children in Charleston. Chris Middleton actually goes to the camp, meets all the kids, motivates the kids, talks to the kids, takes pictures with the kids, and that's what it's all about. A superstar in the NBA going home in the summer, giving back to his local community. My daughter interviewed him, and she said, Dad, he's one of the nicest people I've ever met. So I know people, you know, one of our former players here at Florida Tech, Antonis Pafanis, is now back in Greece playing pro basketball in Greece. And he has played previously on the Greek national team with Giannis's younger brother. And he also has met and played in pickup games with Giannis. So I've got a former player who's close friends with the Antetokounmpos in Antonis Pafanis, a dog who knows and interviewed Chris Middleton from Charleston, South Carolina, and I spent time with Mike Budenholzer on many, many occasions. So I got a lot of affinity for the Bucks, but I also know Nate and would be happy to see the Hawks succeed as well. So I'm a firm supporter of the East, and I hope that's not the kiss of death for the Bucks or the Hawks.
Weird Billy Mims, head basketball coach at Florida Tech. I love his knowledge. You know what question I got to ask now? This Ben Simmons guy took four shots. Look, you've been a coach for a long time, coached a lot of players. Have you seen this before in your career where someone's – it's just like he lost all of his mojo and confidence out there.
Well, you know, you make a great point. I mean, how would you know? There's some stats, okay? There are some stats, Mark, that you just don't want to ever be a part of. You know, when you're a great, you're in the NBA, You don't want to be remembered in the bad connotations, only the good. And let's talk a little bit about Ben Simmons and where he now is. And look at the great company that he keeps. But you don't really want to keep this company in this connotation. Ben Simmons now has the lowest free throw percentage in a single NBA playoff history with a minimum of 70 attempts. Ben Simmons in 2021 shot 34.2% at the free throw line. Mark, I could shoot 34% at the free throw line blindfolded. Okay? And I coached a player one time in England named John White, who went on a show called You Bet, a national game show, and won money for charity, proving that he could shoot better than 70% blindfolded. And he did. So I know this is the lowest of the low. But the funny thing is, the elite company, do you know who the next two lowest guys in history are?
Ooh.
I'll give you a chance to guess.
Okay. This is tough. This is tough.
Who's the next two lowest guys in NBA history?
Well, is Shaq on that? Or is he not even?
Hey, well done. Well done. In 2006, Shaq was the lowest of the low at that point with 37.4%. So Ben Simmons, who's not a post player, he's a guard, Mark. Shaq was a post player. Sometimes you expect post players to shoot bricks from 15 feet because they're only supposed to be really good from 5 feet and in. Ben Simmons is a guard, and he now is the worst free throw shooter in NBA playoff history. Okay, and the other one, in 1968, Wilt Chamberlain, 38%. So Ben Simmons, a all-world guard, is now the worst free throw shooter in NBA playoff history. And the next two guys to him are 7-plus footers who aren't supposed to be able to shoot free throws. That's not the kind of NBA statistic that you ever want to be associated with.
I'm just speechless from this conversation.
Something else, Mark?
What?
Here's the other thing. I mean, Ben Simmons is supposed to be an elite player, right? And so I look at his numbers in this series. Ben Simmons averaged 9.9 points per game and shot 33% from the free throw line in the Eastern semifinals. I'm sorry, but if you're going to perform that poorly in a seven-game series when our season's on the line, I am going to make a change. And here's something else that stood out to me, right? I used to tell you this. We had this comment about a great guy, a guy that thinks himself is the king. And right now they're saying he's the GOAT because Hollywood are advertising it as the bunny versus the GOAT. You remember how you and I used to talk about LeBron James fading in the fourth quarter of big NBA finals games? Remember that?
Yeah.
Where we talked about, look at his numbers. For the game, he had great numbers. But they were really high in the first, a little lower in the second. LeBron would be a little lower in the third, and he would die in the fourth. Well, let me give you a stat on Ben Simmons that kind of says something like that. In seven games in the semifinals, the Eastern Conference semifinals, seven games, Ben Simmons attempted a total of three shots in the fourth quarter. In seven games, Mark. Seven games, he took three fourth-quarter shots. Now, here's his fourth-quarter stats in those seven games. In game one, Ben Simmons was a whopping 2-for-2 in the fourth quarter. In game two, Ben was a whopping 0-for-0 in the fourth quarter. Now, these are field goals, not free throws, okay? From the floor, 0-for-0. In game three, once again, he was perfect, 1-for-1. From the floor in the fourth quarter. In game 4, 5, and 6, Mark, 0-for-0 in the fourth quarter.
Man.
And in game 7, with the team's season on the line, and all the talk on social media about how awful he's been playing, he really stepped it up in game seven and went 0-4-0. He didn't take a shot. So in the last four games of that series, Ben Simmons doesn't take a shot. Now, he was perfect. He was perfect in the fourth quarter in the series. He was a perfect 3-for-3. Never missed a shot in the fourth quarter. But in seven games, he only took 3 shots in the fourth quarter. And in games 4, 5, 6, and 7, never put the ball up. Does it tell you a guy that's mentally struggling and afraid to shoot the basketball?
It's shocking. He's 6'10". He's 6'10". Just go to the rim. I don't get it. But then if you get fouled, he can't hit the free throws. It's insane. Coach, I'm speechless with this whole conversation. Here's my thing. And I really mean this. This is the difference between a good player and an all-timer. If Tim Duncan was the big man for the 76ers, he wins that game 7. He does, and he would have helped Ben Simmons. Get him in the right direction and see how he could help his teammates. That's what I think. That was a Tim Duncan-type game where Duncan, when he was with the Spurs, he finds a way to get it done with a monster game, and his teammates help him out, and they win as a team. And that's why the Sixers will never win. They'll never win.
Look, let's go right to this modern day. Giannis Antetokounmpo, okay? He's a big boy. Okay, and he can't shoot free throws either. But in game 7, yeah, Giannis had 4 points, 13 rebounds, 5 assists, and played 50 minutes of game 7 to get his team to the NBA Finals. So, again, I'll come back and say, if you're Ben Simmons and you're struggling at the free throw line, you've got to find other ways to score the basketball. Yeah. You've got to help your team in some kind of light. And I say something else. This is the thing that's always with me, Mark, about the NBA. The NBA will spend millions and millions of dollars on talent, but they're not willing to spend the money to make the talent better. So you look back in history, Shaquille O'Neal was an awful free throw shooter. It was the worst part of his game. Coaches around the world today, if they're coaching against a team with a bad free throw shooter, they go into their strategy meeting with their players and they say, okay, if it's late and it's close, we're going to foul this guy. So we're going to our hack a shack terminology. We're going to our hack a shack philosophy. So how did that become philosophy? Because Shaq was this bad at the free throw line. Hack a shack late in the game, because it's going to be a turnover instead of made free throws. Now it's going to be the hack of Ben Simmons or the hack of Giannis Antetokounmpo philosophy. But if you look at it, my frustration is not with Ben Simmons and Giannis. My frustration is, why doesn't the NBA and those teams, those organizations, go out and say, you know what, let's find the greatest free throw shooter out there. Let's pay this guy $100,000 this year to come spend the whole season with our team and every single day work to fix this problem. They're going to pay the player millions of dollars to go out there and miss free throws and fail for their team. Why not bring in the best shooter on the planet to fix them? And there are guys out there that you easily could hire that could come in and make those guys better free throw shooters. If you bring them in as a consultant to the team for the season, and their job is to take your superstar worst free throw shooter, make him better. I guarantee the best free throw shooters out there can make Ben Simmons and Giannis Antetokounmpo better free throw shooters.
No. I want to see you with a blindfold on shoot free throws. I want to see this now. You said it earlier.
I promise you I can make 30%.
Don't you think up percentages, just throwing it up, you'll hit 50%? I mean, like, just if you practice all day, don't you think you at least get 5 out of 10? That's why the 34% is so shocking to me. Like, come on.
Well, and remember, Mark, these are guys who have a ball in their hand every single day. They're on the court every single day. And they're getting supposedly the highest technical coaching in the world every single day. But what they're not doing is they keep teaching them, you know, plays that they want to run to beat this team. So technically every day they're out there teaching them, you know, how to make their team, you know, okay, where we want the screen set, the timing, the spacing of our system. It's system oriented. Let's get you here where we know you can do something with it. But the simple fact of the matter is free throw shooting is a finite art. Nothing ever changes about free throw shooting. You're always taking the shot 15 feet away from the basket. You're always going to be wide open. Free throw shooting should be like a penalty kick in soccer. The only difference is there is somebody defending the penalty. There is no one going to block your free throw. So it's a finite art that never changes. It's a constant. 15, like the old Hoosiers movie, remember? When Gene Hackman had his kids walk out on the court with a tape measure, he said, I think you'll find that this arena is a lot bigger than our gym back in, you know, our hometown. But if you measure the basket, it's 10 feet from the floor to the rim, just like it is back home in Hickory. Oh, and let's measure the free throw line. How far is it? 15 feet, just like our gym back in Hickory. So, you know, ever since these kids picked basketball, the free throw line has been 15 feet their entire career. And to go 34% and millions to play the game, that's embarrassing.
I love
that. That's embarrassing. I would want to, if that were me, if I were Ben Simmons,
what?
I'd say I'd like to give some of my money back to the club.
No, you wouldn't.
Yes, I would. Yes, I would. No way. Because embarrassing. That is, here's my problem with it, Mark. That is something that can be fixed. Okay? That's not something you say, I can't do it. Yes, you can. You can take people that have no talent and you can teach them to make a free throw. That is something. It's a finite art and a skill that can be learned. Hey. And it's all about repetition, doing it right, and doing it right over and over and over again. So if you don't do it, there's two problems. Actually, I'll say there's three problems.
Okay.
If you're a poor free throw shooter, there are three problems. Number one, you're not doing it right. That's the biggest reason you're missing. You're not doing it right. Number two, you're not getting repetition and practice of doing it right over and over and over and over again. And number three, if you consent to being a bad free throw shooter, then you obviously just don't care. And all three of those are bad. One, you're not doing it right. Two, you're not practicing the right way enough. And three, you just don't care enough. All of those, to me, are bad. If you want a multi-million superstar in the sport, fix the problem.
Now you're angry. I love it. I love it so much. Now the basketball coach is coming out. Let's end with this. I loved you put on Instagram Kevin Durant's shoe because I can't get over this. If the man, because I wear a size 12, I know you have big feet as well. If he had a smaller shoe size, it's a three-pointer and they go to the conference finals. That's how crazy that is. A game
hey,
of-
for the local listeners here, Mark, for the local listeners on the Space Coast, one of my good friends, someone that you know and have met before as well, is also a professional athlete up in New York. Side, I think the row behind Kevin Durant's mother, and he was filming Marcus May, okay, all day May from right here, Holy Trinity High School, played for the Florida Gators, plays now for the New York Jets up in the NFL, but all day May, Marcus May was sitting there because he loves basketball. Marcus played both basketball and football at Holy Trinity, and he was one of the player in the county in both sports. So Marcus had tweeted out his little video courtside of Kevin Durant making the shot and going crazy, right? And I get his feeds So I DM'd Marcus right after he put that out. And I said, yeah, it's certainly a game of inches, right? And I said, but Marcus, you got some good seats for the action. And he DM'd me right back, Mark, still love the game, coach. And that's what's beautiful. You know, that moment was all those fans there in New York watching Kevin Durant going crazy, thinking, won the game, we're going to get to the finals. And Kevin Durant's mother going nuts. And also other professional athletes, courts going nuts for the love of the game. That's why I tweeted it out there. It's a game of inches and a game of seconds. But boy, don't the world love watching those inches and seconds.
I thought it was a three, and I yelled out, oh, my God, that's how we're going to end. All right. His name is Billy Mims. I know he's busy recruiting and doing stuff in the office. I appreciate your help as always, and enjoy the games and the draft lottery tonight. All right, man?
Absolutely. Mark, look forward to talking with you about the upcoming finals.